Welcome to the Future of Political Consulting by the AAPC, where we explore the evolving landscape of political consulting in a rapidly changing world. The AAPC is a bipartisan membership organization that represents professionals working in the political consulting industry. Our host today is partner at Bryson Gillette and a member of the AAPC Board of Directors, Rebecca Piercy. Rebecca oversees local, state, and national political campaigns for the firm and previously served as Senator Elizabeth Warren's political director and senior advisor to her presidential campaign. She will be leading the discussion with Melanie McGee, Director of Production at Mean Green Media. With over two decades of experience in video production management, Melanie oversees the entire production workflow, ensuring the creation of impactful, eye-catching spots and videos for Mean Green's roster of clients. Together, they will explore the evolution of political ad production, including automated video editing, hyper-personalized messaging, and more. Rebecca, please take it away.
Thank you, Kelly. And Melanie, it's great to have you today.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Awesome. So I guess we'll dig right in. So over the past decade, I think political ads have really shifted from being TV-centric. And I'm wondering, what are the biggest changes you've seen in the past decade?
I started working in the political advertising space in the 2016 election. So that was the first time we came up against Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton was running. For the most part, we still saw television was everything. It was still all about what's going to get onto broadcast, what's going to look fantastic. And you had a lot of spots that were that we got from our clients that were all about filming a story, filming testimonials, lots of original shooting. We weren't really asked to do very much in the digital space back then. So oftentimes we were receiving hard drives from all of our clients.
Oh wow,
with the footage to cut.
I remember those days sending hard drives.
Yes, exactly. So like I said, in 2016, it was broadcast. It was about TV. We were shipping spots like every day into the night. And that continued, I'd say, probably very in a similar fashion in 2018. But we did start getting more requests for ads that could be placed on digital space as pre-roll, or you started to see a little bit more in the streaming sphere. But for the most part, we still really weren't hearing about digital ads. 2020, that started picking up. We started a lot more, at least for our clients. We started getting requests to provide 1x1s and 9x16s of TV ads that we were cutting. We were getting more requests for digital campaigns for spots that were cut down from 30 to 15 to 6 seconds that could be placed in more places. And that has only accelerated since then. 2022 and 2024, it's just been an explosion of digital content. Repurposing the footage that they were filming, like using it specifically for digital placement.
Can you share an example of a recent campaign ad that effectively used AI and how you are seeing CGI enhanced storytelling in your ads?
Sure. I think something that was probably effective in the way that it used AI was what the RNC put out almost immediately after Joe Biden declared his intent to run for reelect. The DNC put out this spot that was entirely produced in AI that showed that it was forecasting this dystopian nightmare that the reelection of Biden and Harris would have plunged the country into. San Francisco closing down due to crime, like law enforcement and tactical gear in public streets. It was showing, you know, migrants just crossing the border in droves, Wall Street buildings hollowed out, abandoned, talking about a potential national financial collapse, China invading Taiwan. It was all the incredible scenarios. But I think what allowed them to be able to use the medium of AI is that it was all posited as what if. These are potential scenarios. This isn't necessarily real yet, but this is what it could look like. So it gives them a little more creative leeway in how they use those images, as opposed to saying, this is this person who lives in this district and this is how they're suffering. That's not some, if, you know, if you're creating that in AI, that's, you're making that up. But if you're saying this is what could happen, this is the possible future, I think that was the way they were able to use it effectively in terms of appealing to their voters, scaring them about another Biden-Harris administration.
So do you think that this like has improved your ability or ad makers' ability to be innovative? And how do you balance the innovation with authenticity? Like, are we too far or not far enough?
Yeah, I think that's the question, because when you think of, I mean, just look at the nomenclature, authenticity versus artificial intelligence. It's artificial. It's the complete opposite of being genuine and of being authentic. So I think the way we've been seeing it used, the implementation of AI, we're seeing a lot of it in terms of like behind the scenes, doing the analysis of voter trends, breaking down the districts and seeing where are the pockets of voters that support this agenda item or this referendum. What are they against? And so I think it gives campaigns additional insight into how to appeal to their voter base, the segmentation of their voter base. And then I think it's also probably used as a first draft in writing that messaging, developing that messaging that they want to go public with in these different segmentations of their voters. But it's still not going to replace the nuance that the human mind can provide and the authenticity that a candidate can inject into their messaging if it's really about what they think and how they want to respond to an issue.
Yeah, and you kind of answered my next question with that, but can you go through what you think the cons and the pros are for using AI in production? And where does the human insight, like where are humans and ad makers irreplaceable in this process?
I think the positives for AI are especially evident for smaller, less well-funded campaigns. If you're trying to reach a broad audience, if you don't have the staff or the funding to place ads anywhere you want, you're going to use the tools that help you get that done efficiently, that can look at a piece of data and spit back, well, these are the messages that mean the most to your constituents. This is what we need to focus on this week. But like I said, I think because AI is basically our knowledge base is being created by AI as well as humans. It's pulling from that same pool of experience and production that's out there. So I think what you're getting from AI in terms of the writing is that it's more stilted. It turns out to be a little more corporate speak. It doesn't have the human touch that makes it feel genuine, or that this is an actual emotion as opposed to this is a policy position. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that. So can you help us understand and maybe explain like how AI can help campaigns to decide where and how to distribute their media for the most impact?
And, well, I think the way it's being used is telling campaigns are figuring out, if I'm trying to reach this demographic, where are they consuming media? What is it that they're looking at every day? So to help them decide, yeah, is it worth the money that I have to place ads here? Or do I need to make a bigger splash with earned media that's going to give me wider attention? I think that right now it's especially useful in terms of wrangling data, telling candidates where they need to be, where is it that they're falling short on reaching potential voters. But what actually is presented to voters, I think it's got to have a human component, because we're always told that people leave something or they walk away with how it made you feel, as opposed to what you actually saw. And I think that there's still, in politics, especially now, what we're hearing from voters is that they want to hear real stories They want to hear about a politician, like, how did a politician get from where they started to where they are now? Why are they running? Like, you saw that that was huge with Congresswoman AOC. You saw with her introductory video that launched her campaign. It was genuine. It was filmed in the places where she worked, like the subway that she used to get to work in her neighborhood to talk to her, the people, her neighbors. It showed her experience, her personal experience of what made her decide to run. So I think that there's still that empathy or genuine fear that a candidate feels that needs to penetrate any of the messaging, any of the visuals that they put out for voters' attention. And AI isn't quite there yet. It's still learning because it's still drawing from our experiences. And then you also have to think about the biases that humans hold that is reflected back in the AI that we see in the generative AI sphere.
AI can create incredibly realistic content. So where do you see that ethical line? Like, it's a fake Joe Biden, it's a fake Donald Trump. Where's the line here?
Well, yeah, AI is getting better. It consistently gets better. I think it's still easier to identify visually when something is made in AI. There's still a bit of, to me, it still looks like there's a bit of a cartoony effect, or there's an animation effect to it that keeps it from looking 100% real. But audio-wise, it's extremely powerful. If you're just listening to a voice, that is very easy to mimic. That is very cheap to distribute. And I think in the audio sphere, it's got a lot more potential for misleading voters. I think, we just saw the Trump administration put out a piece about his vision for Gaza, where he's on the beach with Netanyahu sipping drinks, and there's like gold statues of Donald Trump that people are worshiping. It's still, to me, it still has the component of fantasy to it when we see the visuals that I think audio doesn't have to. I think audio is, it's easier to channel someone's voice and to mimic a voice than it is to really make something look completely 100% photorealistic where you're not questioning. With the tools that AI provides right now, that is going to continue to improve, which is where the danger lies.
Got it. Okay. With digital ads being so hyper-personalized, how do you ensure consistency in messaging across different audiences? Like, if I live next door to you, are we getting the same ad just because we live in the same neighborhood? Or is it, you know, the hyper targeting is great, but how do you remain consistent across that?
Honestly, I think that would be more of a question for our clients. They are the consultants. They are the ones who are writing that messaging. They are the ones who are working directly with their campaigns. Whereas in our role at Mean Green, we're being provided the scripts. And we can provide our input about like language changes or visual edits that we would suggest. But the consistency of the messaging, I think that is up to, that's the campaign. That's got to be one of their primary objectives, is to be consistent, and that even if they're trying to appeal to a different segment of their voter base, it's still leading them to the same conclusion that this candidate is the one that you should be voting for. And I think that comes down to the politician themselves, as well as their media consultants and then campaign manager.
Got it. Okay.
And I think there's only so much input that they're looking for from us. They want us to be able to execute the vision of what they have on the page, but what's on that page is a result of their communication with the candidate and how they want to appeal to their voters.
Okay, great. Can AI help tailor messaging in a way that resonates with specific voter demographics without losing authenticity? So I imagine this is like, I type in something that's specific for a demographic and AI helps me refine what that looks like. Is that accurate? Can AI help messaging that way?
I think it can, but like I said, it should still only be considered as a rough draft. I think it still needs human eyes and human input and response to finalize that kind of messaging and make sure that this is actually hitting the right tone. Is they're hitting the notes that I want, that need to be hit in order to appeal to whatever demo that they're trying to appeal to. You can put in prompt. I mean, and it all depends on the prompts. It is very subjective. Like, oh, can we change this language for a more casual appeal, or to, can we change this to a single parent who is, you know, dealing with raising their children in today's climate? And you can get incredibly specific, but it's like, I'm always going to be an advocate for the human mind and for that messaging to be run by a team of people to make sure that that is correct, that this is the tone that we're aiming for in making those changes before it goes to public.
So looking ahead to the next election cycle, what innovations in media production do you think will have the biggest impact? And do you think AI eventually replaces traditional ad production teams, or will it always be sort of what you've talked about, the rough draft for enhancing our creativity?
I think it depends on the campaign. It depends on how well they're funded. It depends on the extent of their resources to a great extent. And then it also depends on the candidate themselves. Do they feel comfortable using AI to provide their messaging? Or does that feel disingenuous? I think that going forward, we're going to continue seeing the imbalance shift where digital is going to continue to grow and TV will continue to shrink. You're finally starting to see a lot of participation in the younger generation of voters who just don't watch television. They stay on their phones, they're streaming. TV just doesn't get their attention. So I think what you're going to see is continued hyper-targeting, continued segmentation that AI does provide in terms of data analysis, so they can continue honing their messages to strike the right notes with the demos that they're trying to reach. I think you're going to have tools like, I mean, it's something that's easy, like Vimeo provides it. It's an automatic editing tool. You upload maybe the candidate just talking to camera. I'm talking about this topic right now. Then I need to cut out, and it gives you the tool. You can just cut out some words here and there, and it synthesizes it, and it gives you a whole new video within seconds. That is an extremely useful tool. It's your own words. Like, if it is you that you're filming, if it's the candidate themselves that is being filmed, and that can be incredibly powerful. That can be incredibly useful for smaller campaigns that just don't have the man or person power, rather, to create these ads on a constant basis. The fact that digital has grown so much, and the fact that you need to constantly feed that channel, those multiple channels with content, I think only means that we're going to see more and more AI. We're going to see more options provided to do those, like, on-the-go cuts of footage. You can film yourself on your iPhone, and then with your Vimeo app, you can cut your videos down and put them out there all on your phone. I mean, you haven't touched any other piece of equipment. I mean, that's incredibly powerful. So I think you're going to see smaller campaigns continue to use AI, but I would never advocate to any campaign to just leave the messaging in AI's hands. That, to me, seems like a wasted opportunity, because you still want the voters to understand who you are and why you're there and why the heck they should listen to you, let alone vote for you.
Have you had a client ask you to incorporate AI into an ad? And if yes, then can you walk us through that use case?
So we were surprised. We expected to get more requests from our clients for AI generated ads in the 24 cycle. But I think it speaks to the fact that there really isn't a consensus about how to use it. There is no one set of rules about how it can be employed. It's a patchwork of state laws right now. But we did have the opportunity to work with one of our clients who was interested in seeing what AI could do for a particular referendum. And this was a spot that was aired for a referendum on a constitutional change in the state constitution of North Dakota. And what we did, one of the reasons why I thought it was successful was, one, we never showed faces. There were two people. There were two people who were featured in the spot. The first was a politician who we only saw from the neck down, but you could tell that they were Caucasian because you saw his hands. He's in a suit, a gray suit with a red tie, which to us denoted, you know, this is the Republican initiative that they're trying. This is something that they're trying to do. The Republican Party is trying to do. Let's change the Constitution in North Dakota. And then what we saw was we saw his arms, the politician's arms, use a sledgehammer to a glass case of the state constitution. And then we saw his hands push the constitution through a paper shredder. And so we saw the shreds falling from below. And then we brought in another Caucasian man. You can tell he's a man. You can tell he's Caucasian. He's wearing work boots. He's wearing jeans. He's wearing a red flannel shirt. And this is our everyday North Dakota voter whose rights are in danger of being stripped. And as a result, he takes that sledgehammer and he uses it to bash the shredder. That's the visual. So it was a conscious choice not to show a face. Who does this person look like? We used the wardrobe to telegraph who these people are. And then using a literal visual representation of the claims, like they're destroying your rights, they're taking them away with the sledgehammer and the shredder. But then using that shredder, the vote, as a mean to destroy the means by which they were trying to take their rights away, which was the shredder. So use very everyday imagery, things that someone who watches political ads would recognize. People in suits are always the shady people behind the scenes who are trying to take away your right. Whereas the person wearing the everyday clothes, they're the ones who are trying to survive in this world where their rights are being threatened and trying to stop this from happening. So it ended up, it was a different look. Like I said, it still has that a bit of illustrative component to it. It doesn't look completely photorealistic, but it's completely recognizable. And it could have been done, you know, that could have been filmed, but it would have taken a different set of man hours to do that as opposed to person hours to do that as opposed to the creatives who created the images and who edited them together to create the spot. So the client was willing to take a chance on using a medium, you know, using a method that they hadn't really used before, and they were very pleased with the results. But it was, you know, that was one of the few times AI was floated. A few other times it was suggested, but never landed on the concept that the candidate or the client wanted to follow through on. So it can be useful, and it's good in terms of communicating themes, I think, overall. But in terms of showing representation of people, there's still a lot of work that AI has to do for it to be realistic. And so we opted to just go with like visual themes as opposed to using AI to create those visual themes in terms of the look and what people were wearing and using as opposed to seeing their faces. So we didn't have to try to say, well, this is what a North Dakota person looks like. This is what a North Dakota voter looks like. Or this is what a North Dakota politician looks like. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And can you imagine, like, when you started making ads, could you imagine saying to yourself, like, you're going to make an ad entirely out of AI one day? It's just,
no.
Right? Like, it's just, to me, it's so wild even now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's got tremendous potential. For good, as well as obviously for very bad. And it's like the leaps and bounds that we have seen and its improvements just over the past year cannot be discounted. So soon it really is going to have even more of an impact, become more of a, I think, a real creative medium that we're going to see political consultants work in. But that question of authenticity, that question of the genuine experience of a candidate, I think will always be a question mark there, because voters want to see who these people are, their real selves, before they go vote for them. And AI, it's in the name. It's artificial. I'd say that, yeah, that was interesting. It's going to keep, we're going to see more and more of it as technology improves. But my bottom line is always, it needs a human. It needs human beings. It needs our eyes. It needs our experiences. It needs our compassion and empathy and what have you, however you want to term it, to really complete the picture.
Well, Melanie, this was kind of a scary conversation, but also a good one. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
That was our chat with Melanie McGee and Rebecca Piercy. Please don't miss an episode. Subscribe to The Future of Political Consulting by the AAPC on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And join the conversation by following us on social media at the AAPC. Thanks for listening.